In the recent weeks, as we have all been trying to figure out how to do life, perhaps we've all had moments where the distance, the time apart, the sense of isolation from others, which has a way of accumulating in our lives to where there are those moments where we are overcome by the weight of loneliness, that it is this added weight that we are carrying around with us as we go about doing our lives, that we long for those connections, the time together within the same room, the ways in which we are used to gathering and celebrating with one another. Like those special birthdays where we even plan a surprise party. That there's that split second where we all jump up from behind the couch and yell surprise. And not only are we celebrating the birthday, but also the look on her face. That moment of sheer joy that connects everyone in the room, that for weeks the secret was passed from person to person, phone to phone, saying, remember, this is a surprise party. Now, there was that one moment where we were sharing our plans with a friend when the birthday girl walked up, but we're pretty sure, we are hopeful she didn't hear any of it. That we kept telling everybody, remember, park around the corner so she will not see our cars. And when she walked up the driveway and we peered out the window, she did not seem to suspect a thing. And by the shock on her face, she was definitely surprised. Because when we jumped up, she jumped back, confused, disoriented, that we need a moment to catch up when we have been surprised, which is exactly the way the parables work in our lives. That they invite us to meet them somewhere unsuspecting until they flip on the lights and yell, surprise. That the kingdom of heaven, God's vision for the entire world, is like a small, trivial mustard seed, which grows big enough to provide refuge for all the birds, that we should never underestimate the value of something so small. And the kingdom of heaven is like yeast placed in the flour, hidden and unnoticed, till all of a sudden the bread starts to rise. And we must remember that the first listeners of this parable, when they envisioned bread, it was always unleavened. It was the bread of Passover. But surprise, the kingdom of heaven can be like bread with yeast in it. And then the kingdom of heaven is like finding a treasure hidden in a field, or a merchant searching to buy a pearl, neither of which seems surprising, until we find the treasure and hide it again and then purchase the entire property. Or when the merchant finds the pearl, the merchant sells everything that he has to buy the one pearl. It is surprising because it's not logical. Why hide the treasure again to buy the entire property? And why sell everything you have for one single pearl? It is a little disorienting. But the parables remind us what John Claypool used to say, that God's other name is surprise. Now, we might not like surprises because we can't see them coming. We cannot control them. I read a story about a young girl who did not like surprises. So every year, about 2 weeks before Christmas, she would get up late at night and tiptoe into the den and gather up all of her gifts from under the tree and steal away to a quiet corner of the house where she would carefully unwrap the gifts, not damaging any of the wrapping paper, so she could see what she would be getting on Christmas morning. And then she would rewrap the gifts exactly as she found them, placing them again under the tree. And for years, her parents watched her open up these gifts on Christmas morning, thinking that they were surprising her. But she did not like surprises. And we might not want God to surprise us. But the danger is we make God into something we can control. That we make God into our own image. And even if we like surprises, they leave us rather vulnerable. They leave us exposed and disoriented. But the true strength of love is vulnerability. We might be surprised by the unbelievable love that we read about in Romans chapter 8, that God's love will never leave us. And it is difficult to understand the width and the depth of that kind of love. And it is tempting to spell out how that happens, so we're never surprised, as if life is predetermined and prescribed for us. But love does not control. It only empowers. That at the very heart of this passage is a calling to live into the image of Christ, the one who was vulnerable enough to reveal God's love to the world, where we are called, where we are empowered to become vulnerable enough to embody the steadfast love of God for others, to participate in what the love of God is up to, always working for good, because nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the steadfast love of God. one of the people to whom I have looked up to is James Jefferson. Mr. Jefferson kept the church facilities in our congregation in Mississippi. And a few days a week, I would leave my desk and wander back to the church kitchen just to catch up with him. Over the years, he normally worked more than one job, keeping the church facilities during the day and working as a security guard at night. And I was always surprised how he found the time to sleep enough to do everything that he was doing. That he was then in his 70s, only working one job at the church, but nonetheless working as hard as he ever had. That he always surprised me. He one day told me he was staying with his pastor at night, sleeping on his couch and taking care of him when he needed something. His pastor was dear to him. He had served the church for multiple decades, one of those beautiful, wonderful, long tenures that we see so often in the Black tradition of the church. And when his pastor turned 100 years old, knowing that he lived alone, Mr. Jefferson made a commitment to stay with him at night, taking care of what he needed. I asked Mr. Jefferson, "How long have you been doing that?" And I could not have been more surprised when he said, 3 years. The true power of love is absolutely surprising. Jeanine Shepherd was training for the Olympics years ago in the sport of cross-country skiing when she was tragically hit by a car. Her injuries were serious. She was immediately airlifted to the nearest hospital. She underwent drastic surgery. The doctors feared she would not be able to walk again. After years of recovery and intense ongoing physical therapy, she did eventually walk again. But initially, she lay flat on her back in the spinal unit, unable to sit up or look around. She shared that unit with five other patients who, even though none of them could sit up and look at the person next to them, they became incredibly close. One day, a nurse by the name of Jonathan came into the unit carrying hundreds of drinking straws, and he placed a pile of them next to each patient's bed and then asked them to start connecting them to each other. It was a task for occupational therapy, working on fine motor skills, and they didn't mind. It was a good way to pass the time. So each of them tried to create the longest straw possible. And after they all finished, Jonathan started to walk around the room, connecting each patient's straw to the other, forming a circle. And with all of them holding a section of the circle, he said, "Now you are all connected. You are in this thing together." And surprise, that is the church, where seemingly small, trivial things, as small and unassuming as a mustard seed. Connect us to one another in profound ways that reflect the kingdom of God. That before we realize it, all of a sudden, the yeast that was hidden in the flour starts to rise, holding us together with the power and vulnerability of the steadfast love of God in ways that are so meaningful, like finding a treasure hidden, and we hide it again to purchase the entire property, or we sell everything we have to purchase that one single pearl. That before we realize it, we are connected by the grace of God. And those connections continue to say to each of us in ways words cannot explain that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world or in all of creation that could ever separate us from the steadfast love of God. Amen.